Welcome to the Green Heart Living Podcast with your host, Elizabeth Hill.
I'm very pleased to be talking with Ryan Hall. How are you, Ryan?
Doing fantastic, Liz. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Ryan and I do a lot of things together.
Yes,
so I'm going to give you an introduction for people that aren't familiar with you yet. So Ryan Hall, you are a prolific author, right, Ryan? So you've written.
That's a good word for it. Yeah.
Prolific. and we often, when you know, you're often in our groups where we talk about how on earth do you juggle being a working full time, and writing, and you keep doing this, and somehow you pull it off. So you've written Written in the Stone, Hello Again. Most recently, Mining for Your Voice, for My Voice. You've also been in The Great Pause and Redefining Masculinity, those two collaborative books that we've partnered on. You are a podcaster of the Solar Powered Podcast, and you're part of the Green Heart Living team. You help with the press, and you've written another book, which you're working on publishing, and you have another collaborative book in the works that you're leading called The Expanding Man, which is awesome.
Yes.
You've accomplished a lot, and you're right, like juggle.
when you just lay it out there in just stone cold facts, I'm like, how am I doing this? But I'm doing it.
Right? Yeah, taking the leap, and yeah, so I wanted to have you on today because we keep being asked about audiobooks. Many of our authors are curious about this, right? They've published the book, they have paperback, they have ebook, they have sometimes a hardcover. And a lot of people like listening to audiobooks more than reading books for a variety of reasons, whether it's time or they just, you know, take in knowledge better in an audio way, auditory way. And so my authors have been asking me, and so we are now in the process of publishing a book, Doe Henschel's Lukman No Hands, Green Heart Living Press is working on that and that will be ready very soon. And you have just published your book, Mining for My Voice, in audiobook form. So
yes.
I wanted us to talk about this and talk about what the experience was like so that our listeners can learn from what you've experienced and what I'm, you know, tiptoeing into as well. So your book that you just released, which I listen to, and oh my goodness, Ryan, I texted you as I was listening. I was like, Ryan, you're killing me with this book. Which in the world of books is a compliment, saying that.
Yes,
you,
it is
a compliment.
Yes, it is. To be 100% clear, it is a compliment.
Right. So first of all, what drove you to do the audiobook? Why did you do it?
All right. Well, this is something I've been wanting to do for a while. I wanted to do an audiobook for Hello Again, my most recent fiction piece. And I even started in the recording process of that. And at one point, I had a nice USB microphone. I had a real setup. And during the middle of recording a podcast, that microphone just totally died on me. And then life kind of got in the way, work and other obligations kind of got in the way, and I just sort of put it aside. And just, you know, full disclosure, the first time this idea was really like suggested to me was by a mutual friend of ours, Robin Finney, who reached out to me and suggested that I try this, because I do have a broadcasting background. I do have a pretty solid voice and I read well. So it seemed to be a pretty good fit. But time sort of, I guess, took away from that. Flash forward to this past February. I was on a call with this woman named Elizabeth Hill, who suggested, who kind of challenged me one day, because we've been talking about this for a while, but she challenged me to see if I can get this recorded and uploaded by the end of the month, by the end of February. That didn't happen because computer problems. but it did come out towards the middle of April. And it, first of all, it was an experience that challenged me on many different levels, because this book, it is a memoir, it is nonfiction, and I write about deeply vulnerable personal stories inside this book. And going back and revisiting a few of these stories, re-recording them, talking, just speaking the words that I wrote, I guess to much pain at times, was a significant challenge. But it was incredibly rewarding. The book has been really well received. And it has been, you know, it was a labor of love, to say the least. So yeah, that's, you know, that's sort of my experience. It was challenging, but also deeply, deeply rewarding.
Yes. And just to give some context and talk about the book, the way you structured it a little bit, which I love how you structure this, because people sometimes wonder, a lot of our listeners are writing memoirs or personal development, right? Like trying to make a difference in the world through their lives, their life experiences. And so I love the way that you framed really the whole book, because yes, you were talking about your life, right? There was a lot of history, family history from your youth. And then as you were growing up and into adulthood, but all the stories that you shared really wove around this idea of how you found your voice from being someone that really, you know, was hiding in their room, basically, you know, like that, you know, trying to keep yourself safe in some ways, right? And how that led to you becoming someone who can express yourself through writing, through your podcast, on stages, right? Like in these public ways that might not have been predictable if people had known you in your youth, right?
No, totally, totally. I mean, you know, my grandfather, who I wrote about extensively in Mining for My Voice, who passed away in 1992, when I was 12, not quite 14, had to do some quick math there for a second. But if he were to see, if he were to have read this book, number one, and number two, if he were to have heard this audiobook and heard me sharing about some of these just deeply raw, vulnerable stories, and be like, who is this guy? Because a lot there, stuff like this doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. There's got to be, if you want to uncover that, if you want to uncover those stories, if you want to uncover that voice, it takes work, but it also takes a lot of support. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this kind of stuff just doesn't happen in a vacuum. And that, writing this book was probably the biggest thing that I became aware of, was just not only were there a lot of people in my life and a lot of events in my life that might have called me to hide my voice and hide in my room and play video games and watch bad TV. But a lot of people, as I grew older and I really started to find myself supported me in being able to rattle the world with my voice, so to speak. So I really appreciate that acknowledgement, because that, you know, that was very intentional. When I started writing this thing, I'm so kind of stuck in the mindset of there has to be like a narrative arc. It has to be like character arcs. There has to be like stories. But as I started kind of researching different kinds of memoirs, really not that necessary. So, you know, that was very intentional, but also, again, kind of deeply rewarding, just being able to get reconnected with some of that stuff.
Right. And so a lot of what you write about is pretty, not pretty, just very intense. I mean, you talk about addiction of your father, you know, your father's addiction and family, mental health issues and all of this. That's very, you know, raw stuff, serious raw stuff.
Yeah.
I'm curious. So first of all, that must have, what was that like to actually say all these things out loud? Because it's one thing to write it on a page. It's one thing to say it maybe to a coach or a therapist, right? But how was it to actually read your actual story out loud? Just the process of recording it. What was that like for you? Can you go there?
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I kind of feel you with, you know, what you're talking about here. And trust me, I have told this story to many therapists and many coaches over the years. But I find it very ironic that during the process of editing the audio for this book, there were two particular chapters where the sound just got totally corrupted.
Yep.
And they just happened to have been the two most challenging chapters to write and to read, talking about addiction in my family, my own addiction at one point, talking about just getting totally disconnected from God. Those were terribly just challenging, difficult things to go through again. It wasn't easy. It was very difficult. It was, I know I've used the word challenging a lot, but it was challenging on a really deep place, because there were many times that I had to just stop and go find some tissues, because it got that heavy. It got that heavy, and just kind of, I think, revisiting the place where I was mentally and spiritually as I was writing these stories was, it kept me up. There were some sleepless nights with this, because it was terribly difficult, but also I feel like freeing and rewarding on the back end of it.
Yeah. And so, you know, I don't think anything, you know, we talked about this as this was happening, where you couldn't use the recordings and you're like, are you serious? Yeah. I have to record these things again. And you know, I don't think things happen by chance or to be cruel to us. Like, I think even though it might feel that way at the time, like, I feel like there was a reason that all that happened. Like, it tested your commitment to the project. Like, you were like, no, this is really happening. And really, because there's a million reasons you could have stopped doing this.
To say nothing of having computer problems right in the middle of it.
Oh, so, yeah. And for the ones that were hardest to vocalize, to read, I would imagine, as you know, my background in social work, like, gave you more opportunity to clear it out of your body, to like actually vocalize it, to feel more comfortable with the story and the, you know, being with it. So, right. Like, so I say this because I know that this will come up for people as they're recording their things, that we're going to have technical things that show up. And instead of viewing them as reasons to stop, or reasons to give up, you know, signs of that, that it's like, ooh, what is this? What can it do for me in this, that I can actually use this as part of the process? Yep. And see it as, in a way, a gift, even though it's super annoying gift.
No, a super annoying gift indeed. A lot of those little, you know, those little surprise gifts can be super annoying, but they can also be those gifts that really teach you about your own resolve, about your own strength, about your own humanity in a way.
Yeah. So I also want to throw in, as, because sometimes people have to make decision when they are putting their audiobook out there, they can read it themselves or they can hire somebody else to read it for them. I'm excited to have people read their own things from my, because, you know, it's them really getting more comfortable with their story, which is only going to help them as they're going out into the world and promoting their book and getting more comfortable in that space, which is a growth process in and of itself. And as a reader, I mean, this killed me too. Like, I know you as a human being, and to be able to hear your story in your own words, what you have been through and how you've grown, it was like such an impact on my end to listen to it. And so I, you know, for readers, there's so much power if, as our authors, if you're willing to go through it and put the work in, like, I think it will land with readers more. And I think it will also land, you know, provide that transformation for you as an author as well.
I could not agree more. And I feel like, it gets you ready for being able to market your book, for being able to go on podcasts, to be able to go on, radio interviews, TV interviews, to be able to share these stories and not be so, they're still significant in your life, but they're not like, they kind of lose a bit of its heaviness when you're sharing them, when you're verbalizing them out loud. You know, Brené Brown has written extensively about this kind of stuff. When you kind of let go of the shame of some of the things that have happened in your life that you write about, and trust me, there was plenty of that going on in Mining for My Voice. But when you let go of some of that shame, you let go of some of that guilt, maybe, it kind of lightens the load, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's freedom in that. Like, what I like to say is when we share our story, the world holds it with us, right? We no longer have to carry it all by ourselves, which it feels like we carry our story all by ourselves, right? But often there are people that have similar experiences that they can relate to, or even if they have nothing to relate to, just something about that, the empathy that they can have and like holding it with you is a lightness that you can receive through that process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just being able to, just being able to share your story with others helps people to be able to see you, but also for you to be able to see people a lot better.
So I want to talk about like how people go about this, right? So I know of one of our authors who has published on her own. She actually recorded Amanda Quick, the sex trafficker's wife. She did her whole, she did her audio and uploaded it. So this is a thing that people can learn how to do and process on their own. And we are also, I am going to be doing audiobooks through Greenheart Living Press, and you're going to be assisting me with that. Ryan, you're also doing through Royal Hearts Media. You have the ability to do that. So both of our publishing imprints will be supporting authors through this process. And there's lots of ways that you can just go out and get things recorded and get things uploaded on all that. But I want to say what makes it different to work with us for people that are choosing that is both of us are coaches, storytellers ourselves, right? And we know the technical aspects of this. So there's multiple ways that we can support you because it's not just, I don't know, it's a lot to be with your story. It's a lot to hold in your by yourself. And I just want people to know that if they want to ask for help on this, we are here to help them through this process so they don't need to go through that alone, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And if I can piggyback on that, a lot of people, a lot of especially inexperienced, like first-time authors, might not be as comfortable reading their work out loud. And that is the, I mean, we're not going to teach you how to do that, but we can certainly coach you through like inflections and where it might be a good place to just let the story breathe a little bit, let a little silence breathe. We can certainly work with you on that because there's also a performance aspect to this. I mean, I know you have a theater background. I have my broadcasting background. There's definitely a performance aspect to this, just because it can separate just having words on a page and being able to connect with you and your own just deeply personal story.
Right, right. And a lot of that can be learned, right? So a lot of the pacing, right? The way that we're speaking, a lot of that can be taught and developed. So yeah, we do have that experience that we can draw from to help people with. Finally, the theater is paying off. Actually, my theater degree, I have to say, like this has prepared me for life so much, having my theater degree. Like it seems like such a flaky degree to have, but it taught me how to live and like how to get through life, no matter what life throws at me. And I've used it so much in my life. So
go freaking figure.
Who knew, right? So my psychology degree, so I had a theater and a psychology undergrad, and the psychology basically helped me figure out what the heck was going on in this noggin. So that paid off too, but mostly for that reason. All right, so anything else you want to say about audiobooks, Ryan?
Yes. There's kind of a misconception of recording a professional audiobook. There's dozens and hundreds of videos on YouTube talking about how to do this. And trust me, I have watched dozens and hundreds of them. But a lot of them, you're sitting behind this, you know, like broadcast quality Shure microphone with a windscreen. You've got soundproofing in your room. You've got you've got Adobe Premiere or something pulled up on your computer. You can certainly do that, but a lot of that stuff costs money, a lot of money. Here's the secret about my audiobook. Yes, I edited it on GarageBand on my laptop, but I recorded them using a pair of $40 earbuds that I got off Amazon. And I'm very discerning when it comes to audio quality. I thought it sounded fantastic. And the feedback that I've gotten agrees with me. So you don't have to have that huge setup. And I just recorded them on Zoom. You don't have to have that huge expensive setup. You can just get a pair of earbuds from Best Buy or Amazon and do what you got to do.
Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, so people are asking me about that. Like, do I need to record in a studio? Which, you know, I'm a fan of recording in the studio. That's a cool thing to do, right? That's a cool experience. Sure. And we also, I don't want it to limit people if that, like, that doesn't need to be the path that they take. Because many laptops now have very good quality recording. Like, it actually can, right? So, and ACX, which is the platform that we're using to upload books, because it makes it the widest reach. Like, you can get it onto Audible and other pathways that way. They have pretty stringent recording requirements as far as like the levels of the audio, right? There's things to figure out when you're uploading these things. But if we can do that using Zoom and our laptops, you know, right? Like that this is something, it is a path that you can follow. As long as you can get yourself in a, you know, quietish space, it has to be somewhat quiet. But even like with my laptop, I record all my podcasts here. It can be loud outside and no one hears it, right? Like I can actually, right? Like I'm like, I hear this thing going. The way that the mics now are they're really good at limiting like what they're picking up. Yes. So.
Yes. Yes. And to add on to that, you need to get into a quiet place, but you also need to get kind of in a like a quiet mental place before you can do this. Mm-hmm. And do it well. Mm-hmm. But there may be times when you're reading this when, like, I live right by a street. If you have to stop for an ambulance siren going by or somebody's loud music going by, you may have to do that, but mm-hmm. it's not really the end of the world. Now, you don't need to be, recording with a, you know, screaming baby in the background.
I'd say remove like, babies from the room.
Yeah, right. Yeah, or at least put them down for a nap. It's funny. My foreword was recorded by a dear friend of both of ours, Elisa Pachetz, who was a mentor of mine and my own coaching program. And she's a new mother. She just had her first baby in November. And she admitted to me that she had to wait until the baby was down for a nap before she could do this.
Oh yeah, so I'm sure
there are going to be some circumstances that you're going to need to sit mm-hmm. around, because I didn't hear a screaming kid in the background. So
me either.
There's going to be some circumstances. There's going to be circumstances, but you don't need to let the lack of a professional studio and professional microphone and all that stuff. You don't need to let that stuff stop.
Right. I want to say a couple more technical things. One is that, so some people might not have, their house is not a quiet house, right? I benefit from, I have a very Zen house that I've cultivated. Right? Zen, quiet house. But some people have kids that are loud or things going on and it's just not possible. There are some libraries that have recording spaces that you can actually rent out or use. So that's sometimes an opportunity that people could check out. And then one thing that can be helpful is as you're recording, you're gonna mess up, right? You don't need to record the whole thing again. You can actually pause and then start over the paragraph to go back. Cause I think we talked about at first, they said, oh, just start over the sentence. But sometimes the way that you phrase the sentences, and it's just better to go all the way back to the beginning of the paragraph and start and read that again. And then if you're editing it or whoever's editing it, will be able to pull out those pieces that you messed up. You don't need to record the whole thing again. You'd never get through it. There's always gonna be, like a slip of the tongue or whatever. So that's fine. Through it. Any thoughts on that? I know that was some advice I had come up with and you had also like.
Yeah, it's, you know, when it comes to that, that process, it just makes it easier to, it just makes it easier to edit.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going back and recording individual sentences, it's, you know, sometimes it may sound totally foreign when you're, you know, when you're reading through that paragraph. And just going back and recording the previous paragraph, mm-hmm. if you stumble on a word or something like that, it keeps the inflection, it keeps the, yeah, inflection is a good word for it. It just kind of keeps your inflections, it kind of keeps that flow going, so it sounds like you're just reading straight through. So that's definitely, you know, that's definitely something to, you know, to keep in mind. Also do that if you have a dog barking in the background, or if you have a, or if you have a, you know, a siren go by or something. It's not just limited to when you mess up or something like that. So definitely, you know, definitely keep that in mind, but also don't let this stop you. Don't let this stop you. You know, the way that your story may look, it really doesn't matter. Just tell it.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell it.
Yeah. And so, okay, so I want to make sure we talk about one more thing before we wrap up, which is you have a collaborative book that you're bringing together now. Could
yes,
you
I do.
A little bit about that, because I think you're still accepting authors, right? You have
room to
do more.
I am, yes. I am. And this is a book for men called The Expanding Man Chronicles. And I am accepting applications throughout the month of June. And we can certainly include a link to the application in the comments of this podcast, in the show notes or whatever. But what I'm looking for in the Expanding Man Chronicles are people who have expanded their definition of what it means to be a man, what it means to be a leader, what it means to be just a soul-centered man in this world, a solar-powered man, as it were. Because the stories that our fathers may have had, or the stories that our grandfathers may have had, are not going to look the same way that ours do.
Mm-hmm.
The stories that our grandfathers might have felt, they're not going to look the same ways that ours do. If you have, like, if you consider yourself, and this phrase just kind of makes my skin crawl, but if you consider yourself an alpha male and you want to reshape how the world sees that phrase, share your story in my book. If you want to bring heart and connection into a traditionally alpha male dominated field, bring your story to my book. I've got a man who's fits that description to a T, who's going to be writing about this book. Who's going to be writing a chapter in this book. So it's, it's really a great practice, a great experience to kind of shape how people see men in this world. So yeah, it's the Expanding Man Chronicles. I don't have a firm publication date on it, but I would love to birth this into the world sometime this fall before the holidays. So I'll be accepting applications for that throughout the month, throughout the rest of the month of June. So, get those in.
Awesome. And if people are interested in doing an audiobook, they can reach out to you, Ryan, or me, either of us, because both of our imprints will be doing this and supporting people through the process. So your website is royalheartsmedia.com. Did
yes.
I say that correctly? Okay,
you
cool.
You did, yes. I've just barely taken the wrapper off the thing, but yes, royalheartsmedia.com.
Yes.
If you're interested in connecting with me about this, There's a link to my Calendly on there. Book a call. We can certainly talk. There's also a link to my to the application for the Expanding Man Chronicles on there too. So
excellent. Good. Thank you so much for taking the time today, Ryan. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, and let's tell some stories, y'all.
Yeah.
To find out more about Green Heart Living, visit us on our website at www.greenheartliving.com. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/greenheartliving.